seconds. One. This one's over. The Chicago Blackhawks have set a new franchise record for consecutive wins in the regular season. 12 in a row for the Chicago Blackhawks. They also tie the Florida Panthers for the longest streak in the National Hockey League this season. Congratulations to Joel Quenneville, the coaching staff, and the Blackhawk players, along with Blackhawks management, for excellent work. The boys got it done here tonight in Nashville.
Franchise record, 12-game winning streak for the Blackhawks, and this is episode 13 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Welcome in. We are high atop the WGN Radio Studios here in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is my co-host and the man from the Red Eye, Scott King, who I can't see because he's got his monitor in front of his face. Yeah, put that thing down.
This is like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. It goes right down.
How
Look
are
at
you,
this futuristic
sir?
Studio.
Nice,
we're in.
You see, it's nice to see your face. Yeah. It's a lot easier to communicate.
I
that
thought
way.
There was like a new monitor. I wasn't trying to block you. Good Lord. Look at this thing. No, episode 13, and they're going for win number 13 on a streak tonight.
How about that? We either could be their lucky charm or we could be the opposite.
Speaking of luck, I thought maybe we could have gone episode 14, like to do with buildings, like, you know, 13th floor. They just, you either skip it or you call it the 14th floor because people are weird and they don't really care about that kind of stuff.
It's interesting. But, superstitious.
I like 13 and 13, though. They are going for 13
tonight. We will see what happens. It's been one hell of a streak, and we recorded last week, and I said, wouldn't it be funny? And they were on an 8-game winning streak when we recorded last Thursday.
Yeah.
And then last Wednesday. And then I said, wouldn't that be funny by the time we get back here next week and they're going to be on a 12-game winning streak? And here they are. So we will definitely dive into the 12-game winning streak, all that has been read or all that's been talked about, everything that's been written about it. I mean, there's so much to get into. You had a great blog.
Thank you, sir.
On our Blackhawks Crazy blog, where you can find on WGNRadio.com. We're going to get into in terms of, are the Blackhawks better now than they were last year? So it was a really good read. So we're going to dive into that. We'll also get into the All-Star game because John Scott's getting into
Captain John Scott.
Captain
please.
John Scott, he's back. He was gone, and he wasn't, and now he's back. So we a lot to talk about there. We got to talk about Corey Crawford, too, just kind of in the general sense in what he's been doing this year.
It's been
quite an accomplishment. I also, too, definitely want to get into the matchup tonight, too, because it is, you know, second time they've met this year, the Lightning. We saw them last year, 6 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll preview that.
Absolutely.
But first, we want to start off with the big news of the day, which is that Ryan Garbutt, no longer here. They end up doing a trade, the Blackhawks, today, or at least they made it official today, with the Anaheim Ducks. They trade him out west, and in return, they get Jiří Sakic. I think I'm saying that right.
If not, very close. Yes.
Close, right?
Yeah.
I was telling you.
Closer than I would have been.
I was telling you, I called because I used to work in Anaheim
as
the beat reporter.
You made a special call on the bat phone.
Yeah, I called. I called Brian Hayward, who's their TV color analyst, and he couldn't talk long. He's like, hey, Mike, great to hear from you, but I can't really talk. I said, all I need you to do is tell me how to pronounce this kid's name. And that's how he said it, Jiří Sakic. Now, I've heard it said a million different ways, but he is now a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
He is now a Blackhawk.
He's a Hawk now, and I like that trade. Garbutt wasn't playing much. I've been on the lineup because Ponick's been playing so good. We'll get into Ponick next, I think. He's had an interesting day. He might be in the doghouse soon, but Ponick was playing so good that you didn't see much of Garbutt. And you're getting a 23-year-old skilled forward who's responsible defensively in Sakic. And that trade I also like because you're trading grit from Garbutt, who's kind of like a Shaw player, but it's been in bottom six for, like I said, a very skilled guy and a lot of upside. He's only 23 years old.
And the thing with Garbutt, too, though, I mean, what an up-and-down year he's had, though. I mean, he was on the first line.
Yeah, he was
the
guy
point.
They tried
the
out there
line.
Early. Yeah,
and then, you know, he just eventually kept getting pushed back. Then, it was, like you said, Ponick comes in. But and in terms of, like, I know everybody, anytime there's a trade made, people want to know, well, how does this affect the salary cap? It's basically a neutral. It's neutral.
It was.
Because according to what I'm reading through right here, Sakic's cap hit was at $925,000, just $25,000 more than Garbutt's.
Right.
So it's not a
it's basically neutral. Yeah. 25 grand.
And again, you're getting a guy who might work out, who might be a skilled guy, maybe like a Teravainen that Quenneville likes to plug into the bottom six and maybe let them claw their way up when they need someone to fill a role in the top six. So it could be a good trade. He's young. There could be a lot of room for improvement, and he's already kind of proven himself a little bit last season.
Another quick note, too, on Sakachi's contract, though. I mean, it's basically neutral right now, but it does provide the Hawks with some flexibility next season because he is in the last year of his deal.
Right, right. Good point.
So we'll see what happens. I doubt he's on the ice tonight. I have not read anything about that.
He said I saw the reporters asked him, and he said could play tomorrow. Usually could play means will play.
Yeah.
In Q-speak, as you know.
Yeah,
so,
because they got a back-to-back tonight. They got the Lightning. They're down in the Sunshine
State. It'd be hard to
get them
there in time tonight, so
yeah.
Late tomorrow.
So they got the Lightning tonight, and then they play the surprising Panthers, who have been really good this year. I think they're probably the surprise of the NHL. So Dale Talon and Soupy getting it done down there.
A lot of that has been Jager, too. 75-year-old stud.
Unbelievable.
Jager.
He's an all-star. Another all-star captain.
Yeah. So, he didn't want to be.
I know. He wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I was reading the other day that he has made like $117 million in his career.
Oh, wow.
And he's 43?
Wow.
Is that right?
I think it sounds about right.
Yeah,
and I know he's in his 40s.
Yeah, so.
And he's still playing well, so.
But then you kind of compare that to where Taves and Kane, they signed their $88 million deal.
Yeah, the big one.
And you know that they're going to get another deal after that, you would think. So they're going to probably exceed that pretty easily.
I think so. We're talking new age, you know.
So Ryan Garbutt, he's gone. He was a nice little addition for a while, but then, you know, he just kept getting buried. They make the trade. And the reason, a big reason why they could make that trade is because Richard Panik, who they got also in a trade with Toronto, which sent Jeremy Morin north of the border, was playing well, really well. And this is a guy that was buried, and speaking of the word buried again, he was in the AHL up in Montreal. I mean, he just never really fit up there. I think it's the Marlies. I think that's what they're called.
Toronto Marlies.
Yeah, the Toronto Marlies, their AHL team. And it's, you know, he finally gets the opportunity. He gets to come to the Stanley Cup, the defending Stanley Cup champions, gets on the ice, plays well. And then we get news this morning that he overslept. The day the Garbutt trade's made, he overslept and missed morning skate in Tampa.
Right.
We will not be seeing
Mr.
Panik today.
No.
I could just picture Q's reaction and or colorful language that he used when he found
said,
that out.
"Quote unquote, it's too fresh to talk about." So as upset.
That's
as,
basically him saying, "I'm not going to say anything right now because I might say something stupid."
Yeah, that's saying I'm too Quenneville upset to make a Quenneville comment. So, like you said, Panik was playing really good. So what does that mean? It means two goals and an assist, 3 points in five games with the Blackhawks. So he's playing really well, really fitting in nicely there in the bottom six, adding a lot of skill. And like we said, that trade was done because of him, and you get rid of a forward. So obviously you still need those forwards to be there. And now that he's out, Quenneville has to punish him. He forced Quenneville's hand. He can't not do anything about that. A guy doesn't show up to practice. So he had to do something. Now they're dressing seven defensemen tonight.
Yeah.
Now they're going to miss a forward on that fourth line because of this.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge, and I know everybody says it, you know, we're all human. You make mistakes, you know, but if you're an accountant and you oversleep and you're late, different. This is morning skate. This is, you're a professional athlete. That can't happen.
Yeah. Yes and no. It's a small
distraction. It's not a huge distraction. And the fact that they're on the road is probably, it's probably better, but you don't want anything like that surfacing or revolving around a team right now that is on a historic win streak.
Well, yeah,
it's small detail. He's not a huge, you know, a huge part of this team, but it's just something you don't want to hear.
Yeah, he didn't do anything horribly wrong. He's not in jail or anything like that, but it's something that that Quenneville has to punish you. And now, we were talking before the show, if Panik comes back, which he will, he's just going to punish him today. He's not in the lineup today. When he comes back, if he has a bad game, that now you're in Quenneville's doghouse. And we know Brian Bickell has been in his doghouse for a very long time. How's that going? It's not easy to get out of that doghouse.
He's enjoying the scenery of Rockford right now.
Yeah, that poor guy we've been talking about as much as Kane, but for opposite reasons.
Yeah.
So now he better perform when he comes back and not make a mistake like this again, even though it was a minor one. Just kind of an oversight, maybe an alarm clock thing even on his part. He's got to come back and perform.
An alarm clock thing. Then set one on your phone. You set one in the hotel. You get a wake-up call.
Wake-up call, like that Seinfeld episode where he misses the marathon.
I know. You can't.
Jean-Paul.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's just, I'm a real stickler for being on time, no matter what
I
it
set
is.
A bunch of alarm clocks, especially when it's something important, like an NHL game.
And if it's that important and you're a guy that's finally starting to make – you know, make his mark on an NHL team and doing something in your professional career that you've been striving for your whole entire life, you should be so nervous going to bed each night that it's impossible to oversleep.
He screwed the team a little bit because who knows how a defenseman's going to work on the fourth line. And he shot himself in the foot because he did play really well right away. He made the most of the opportunity to come in here.
Yeah.
And now this is a minor setback. Hopefully he can overcome that.
We'll see what happens. It's the Blackhawk Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye, the sister slash brother slash cousin of the Chicago Tribune. We love it, we know it, and we read it. So let's move away from alarm clocks and things of that nature, and let's focus on the positive with this team because there's a whole lot of it. You got a 12-game win streak, a franchise record. They get it in Nashville, which just made it that much sweeter because they try to keep the red out in Nashville. They don't want the Blackhawks fans there. Oh, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're going to set a franchise record in front of your fans. So I thought that was really cool.
It's fantastic.
And I just want to kind of get into some of these things, especially what happened on Tuesday night. You got Patrick Kane. He scored his 30th goal of the season. It's a career high. It's tied a career high, which he set in 2009-2010. And, oh, yeah, by the way, there's 33 games left.
Yeah.
Safe bet that he's going to break that record.
Look, he's got 71 points 49 games into the season.
That's insane.
We're not even at the All-Star break yet. He has 71 points.
It's absolutely insane. And then 34th time in 46 games. This was on Tuesday in their 4-1 win over the Predators. The Hawks scored in the first period, and Anisimov got that one. So, 34th time in 46 games, you're getting a goal in that opening period. That's always a huge momentum swing, and it's a huge punch to the face of the opponent. And that is something that if they can continue, now maybe not on that pace, but if they can attack early and get out in front early, it's just like getting ahead of a good pitcher.
I think 11 of the 12 games on the streak, they scored first.
Yeah.
So that's how big that is. That's how early you can put a hole in the team's sails you're playing.
Yeah.
Score first.
And the team was 13 points out of first not that long ago, the end of December.
December 29th,
exactly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there you go.
Now they're 5 games ahead of Dallas.
And Dallas, they just don't look the same anymore. I mean, that team came out so red hot, if you remember, in the first probably 20 games of the season, maybe even beyond that.
I didn't think the Hawks were going to catch them. I thought the Hawks would still be good, and a lot of their holes would pan out okay, as they have, but I didn't think the Hawks would catch Dallas. Now they're 5 points out of them.
I was in a group text with my friends, and I said that, you know, this team, in my mind, is essentially overachieving. I know that sounds, and they say, well, how could you say that the Stanley Cup champions are overachieving? Well, look at all the roster changes that happened. I did not expect them to go on a 12-game winning streak. I did not expect them to be in first place in the division, in the arguably the toughest division in hockey, right before the All-Star break. I mean, we still got a little bit of time here. They got a couple more games, but I'm just thoroughly impressed. And they just said, well, they're the Stanley Cup champions. You know, blah, blah. Doesn't matter.
No,
been a lot of roster changes here.
They got a little dismantled. You're right. Yeah, they're rebuilding on the fly. Stan Bowman's gotten great at doing that, at adding guys that he thinks will help, and they have helped, and the players have gotten good establishing chemistry with those guys once they get here, once they get an opportunity, like a Ponick.
Eric Gustafson.
Gustafson, yeah.
Bringing him up. Yeah. I mean, he's been very solid. He had that one pass. I can't even remember what game it was. I know that's great radio right here, great podcast. You remember that one pass he had? But, I mean, you could tell that he's got a lot of potential, and he's got some soft hands.
He already looks like an NHL vet on defense there. He makes some really slick, beautiful passes.
Yeah, he's not a bruiser. He's a finesse defenseman.
He's a good stay-at-home guy, too. He doesn't make many mistakes defensively, and he's got very good hands for a defenseman, a young defenseman, too.
Yeah, and the power play's been more dangerous. Yep. They've been really doing great on that. Also, too, Corey Crawford has just been out of his mind, absolutely out of his mind. And I don't know what it is. He just seems so much more locked in and focused this year than I feel like he has been in a really long time.
Yeah, and you see that with the consistency. 9-0 in his last 9 starts.
That's insane.
Goals against average of 1.68 over his last 19 starts. 19's a lot of games. 19 games is a lot, and it's 1.68 goals.
In those nine games, he's allowed 17 goals in those nine games.
Yeah.
Do the math. I'm not much of a multiplication guy, division guy, but it's pretty good.
He's been great. Another stat I saw earlier today, 12 games allowing one or fewer goals all season.
Yeah.
So really, really clutch goaltending from him.
Made some beautiful ones on Tuesday, too.
Yeah, and a lot of it's the – I think a lot of it's the coaching, the goaltending coach, Stefan Waite, has really done a lot of great work with Crawford. They had a good – Kevin Weeks was doing a good feature on him on the NHL Network yesterday, I saw, talking about how instead of just kind of being a position guy and being big, he's made Crawford more athletic. He's made him really get good at those desperation saves. I mean, what was that? He made like six saves in like 8 seconds or something two games ago.
Yeah.
Just unreal what he's able to do now. That was maybe the most ridiculous sequence I've seen a goaltender make. He was just getting shelled, and he was all over that making these great saves 2 games ago.
He's like a gymnast with his flexibility and just everything that he was doing.
The way he's been playing game in and game out and the types of saves he's been making, this is a very special year for him. Not an all-star, but a very special year for Pekka Rinne, who's
I was going to say the guy that he faced.
The wheels came off a long time ago, and he's had a lot of trouble, is going to be a nut for the all-star.
Well, that's the hometown.
Yeah, they get three guys. The Hawks get two.
Yeah, exactly. So, and speaking of that all-star game, it is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. Also, too, we didn't even put it out there. Make sure you follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy, or just sign into Facebook. Search Blackhawks Crazy. We show up right there for you. We got the Blackhawks Crazy blog, which is on WGNRadio.com. You can also check that out via Twitter. I am at Mike Jacobson Radio, or actually Jacobson Radio, at Jacobson Radio. I know my own Twitter handle. You are at Scott King Media, and you can use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. Any sort of comments about the podcast and or the blog, or if you want to submit questions, we do read questions at the end of each show, which we will be doing here in just a few minutes from you guys. So feel free to participate in the program. You are a big part of this, so we would love to get you involved. So John Scott, he's had one heck of a week. So he becomes a captain, and it was kind of a joke sort of thing, essentially, on Twitter, and the fans voted him in.
Some people like him. Yeah. Some people like him, and they know that fighting's a part of the game, and they want to get him there, and that's fine.
He's bad at hockey. Professional hockey.
That's fine.
And he'd beat both of our asses.
But until fighting's out, it's a part of the game still.
It is true. It is true. So, anyway, he gets elected in. Then he gets then he gets sent down to the AHL.
Traded and sent to the AHL.
Traded and then sent to the AHL.
Yeah.
So then it was, well, now he can't be the captain of the team because he's not on the NHL team.
And it came out that when he was in Phoenix and they voted him, the team and the league asked him to not
they didn't
participate
want him to do
in
it.
The All-Star game.
Fans to be a big part of the voting process, but we actually didn't like the way they voted. So you want to do us a big favor, John?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. No, exactly. That you put it in the fans' hands to vote, and how many clicks do you think that helped get on their website that got people to pay attention to the NHL? A similar thing, not the same type of a player or role, but, you know, Gergensen's with Buffalo last year, a guy from Latvia, got like the whole country to vote for him. So and I think his stats weren't that great, as good as the other All-Stars, but you got a whole country that maybe wouldn't have paid as much attention to the All-Star game or the NHL voting. So that's fine. If you're going to put it in the fans' hands, it's fine when they put more attention on the league. That's a good thing. And now people are complaining on social media, now that he's definitely going to be there, saying, oh, it's a mockery. Well, we just read off a list of country singers that are going to be assistant captains for the All-Star game now. I mean, or coaches. I'm sorry, assistant coaches.
Coaches.
So you
my
you
boy
country,
Dierks Bentley.
There you go. You're a country fan. You have country Western singers affiliated with the game. You have a game that I know they changed.
So what
format,
was the list? It was Dierks Bentley, Vince Gill.
Yeah, those guys. Some other ones.
And was there some other guys too?
Yeah, like three more. There's like five of them. They're going to be assistant coaches now.
It's Nashville, baby. Come on.
Oh my God.
You know country music is going to be
a real
free
for all this year, and everyone's worried about John Scott. It's 3-on-3, which is a circus, a very entertaining spectacle, but that's not hockey, really.
How do you think his fellow All-Stars are going to react to him when he shows up?
I think like Patrick Kane does when he asks about it. The best player in the league thinks it's great that he was voted. You know, thinks he's a good guy. He's very funny, and he thinks that he's going to play hard. He knows this is a big opportunity for him, and he does appreciate the fans that voted for him. So I know guys like Kane, skilled guys like that, not only do you like when a guy like that is on the team to protect you, but he gets a kick out of Scott. He's happy to see him there.
And John Scott said this in a statement about getting back into the fold for the All-Star and now being a captain. I am looking forward to enjoying a fun and unique experience at the All-Star weekend in Nashville with my family. While being voted to the All-Star game by the fans was not something I expected to happen, I am excited to participate in All-Star events with my fellow players. So he's being, you know, classy about it. He's not saying, what the hell, man?
Yeah, he's never acted like that.
And he's never been that kind of guy.
No, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that would make that the release comment you just read either. That's clearly an NHL PR person.
It
he's
is.
A little more lively. He's
but,
a little more lively
I mean,
than
he's
that.
He's got to approve it.
Yeah. You know how that stuff works. But, yeah, I think it was funny today, too, or maybe yesterday I heard this, that because he's playing in the AHL for St. John's Ice Caps, he wants to wear an Ice Caps jersey to the All-Star game.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
like, that's a team I'm playing for. So that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome if he did that. And I think he's got a couple more tricks up his sleeve, knowing what a funny guy he is.
I think
it will be very entertaining. And maybe the Pacific team bows out a little early in the 3-on-3, but it's going to be entertaining, man. I'm going to watch.
Why? It's going to be like 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, man. Are you
well,
kidding
great.
Me?
I mean, they usually score 15 goals every year anyway, so who cares?
See, but again, this is exactly what the NHL wants. I'm going to watch
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
And I'll be
you're telling the guy not to show up. Now everyone's talking about it.
And I love hockey. I love hockey, but the actual All-Star game, I had no interest. I like the skills competition.
That's very.
I don't
want.
I don't care about
sure.
a 10-9 game. Now that they've got this, they've got the whole John Scott thing. They're trying the 3-on-3 tournament style thing.
Right.
I'm interested. I'll be watching.
Yeah, I'll be watching.
I'll be watching on Sunday. I think I'll be working here because I think we're actually airing the game, but I'll also be watching. So it should be a lot of fun. I just don't understand why some people are making such a big fuss about it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's just the way I look at it. So we got a few more minutes here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. This is the portion of the program that we like to call the King's Keys. And we call it the King's Keys because his last name, Scott, is King. And this is when he gives us a few pointers, a few keys to the next few games for the Blackhawks in order for them to pick up a few points. Now, the advice you've been giving them has obviously been working the past couple of weeks now that they're on the 12-game win streak. But what do you got for them this week?
I say keep playing hard. There's key number one, keep playing hard. There's 4 games left before the All-Star break. So
yeah, don't let off the gas.
Exactly. Because they're already 5 points ahead of Dallas. They have 68. Dallas has 63. They're in first. So as much room as you can make between yourself and the other people in the standings in the Central, I think they'll be very happy with. And that could be a difference maker going into the playoffs. Being the number one seed, maybe getting an easier opponent, playing on home ice. So keep grabbing these points. Don't let up. And another type of don't take your foot off the gas key is for scoring first. Keep scoring first. We saw that stat. 11 out of 12 games on a streak, they scored first.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I would say to that is after you score first, like in the Nashville game, don't take your foot off the gas. They scored first against the Predators, and then Panik got a goal. And then right after Panik's goal, the Preds got a lot of energy in the first period. Luckily, Panarin sprung Kane on that beautiful breakaway. This is one that maybe Kane's best goal for his 30th goal.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It really was. That Keith, was a thing of beauty.
Keith made a nice pass to Panarin there. So don't let teams answer back when you score first. And that's it. They should be in good shape.
So there you go, the King's Keys for this week on the episode 13 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We'll close it out here with some questions from you guys, which you can submit, again, on Facebook, Blackhawks Crazy, just search that, or on Twitter using the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy, all in nice little condensed form there. The smaller, the better. We like things in nice little tight packages, right?
It's each their own.
Yeah, all right. Keep your fantasies out of this, Scott. All right, so this one from Paul Berry. Oh, man.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast, baby.
Sponsors won't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. No, we are. I already told him, like, I told Nike. I said, we might let a few things fly here, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
deal with it, Nike.
So Paul Berry on Facebook said, any concerns about peaking too early? We were just kind of talking about this. For me, no, because this team has been able to turn it on and turn it off in an 82-game season. We've seen it so many times, and they always seem to prove at least me wrong.
Yes.
Because they're like, all right, here we go. Now, it is kind of – I mean, they're peaking right now. I wouldn't say peaking, but they're playing at such a high level right now. I think what he's saying is – are we going to be concerned come March?
Yeah, that they might fizzle out. And I'm not worried about
it. I don't think so.
I'm not worried about it either. Even if they do for a little bit, they'll be fine in the playoffs. You have all that playoff experience with the core guys. And also, they didn't peak too early in the 2013 season when they had the 24-game point streak and they had the 11-game winning streak in there. That started at the beginning of the season. And, I mean, look at the high level they're playing at to start the season and carried it on halfway through or whatever. And then those guys were unbeatable in the playoffs too.
Another one here. This one from Twitter. This is at Cliff Douche. Cliff Douche. I just said douche, didn't I? Cliff. I think that's how it's spelled here, though.
It is. I double-checked it myself.
All right, we'll just go at Cliff. How about we do that? Would you go anywhere near Druin right now? What would you do? What would it do to the dressing room?
Yeah, we talked about him last show. If you want to give a listen back to that, we kind of went into detail on what kind of player Druin is. Some reports have the Hawks kind of not interested anymore in this trade. Obviously, they made a trade today. But what happened with Druin is I think the Lightning put him in the AHL. They said like a conditioning thing to basically showcase him for a trade, that he's healthy after an injury, that he's playing fine. And him and his agents thought was, okay, well, we're just not going to play because we don't want to get hurt before we're traded somewhere. Very beneficial that maybe he gets a nice contract, maybe he goes play somewhere he wants to play. So I kind of understand both sides there.
A lot of people want him.
Yeah, I understand both sides there.
High commodity.
Maybe ethically or morally, and to have loyalty to his team, he should have done what they assigned him to do. I know they kind of like terminated his contract basically over it, but I don't think that's going to cause a locker room issue. I haven't really heard any other reports of him being a difficult guy. That's just something that him and his agent thought would benefit the trade.
It's a business decision.
Yeah.
I get it. And wrapping it up here, this is at GenZ75. What happens when Kruger comes back? Does he replace Rasmussen or Deneau? I don't think it's going to be. I don't know. That's a very interesting question. But that's still it's further up the road.
Yeah, maybe
here.
Like 2 months away still.
Yeah, we still got a lot of time here. But if I had to guess, I would say number 70. That's who he'll be replacing.
I agree. Because that third line's been very good. And, look how great Kruger was on the fourth line last year.
There's another guy, Deneau. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
The third line's been very good. Desjardins and Teravainen and Deneau.
Yeah.
Been very good.
I mean, this streak that they've been on, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And, we hope we can keep it going tonight, make it 13, because it's just so exciting to watch, whether you're covering it from a media standpoint or you're just watching it as a fan. I would say the funnest part of me about this whole entire streak has been Crawford, just watching him. And it's really amazing the amount of difficult saves that he has made during this streak. Just staying laser focused. It's pretty amazing.
I agree. His focus is unbreakable right now. Like I said, it's not just those shots and quality saves that other goalies might not make. It's the quality sequences when guys are shelling him with four or five shots and he's staying square to the shooter somehow, being able to get over, go post to post and make some great saves.
And the thing too about tonight, Tampa Bay, they're coming in pretty hot. They're 7-2-1 in their last ten here. They've won six in a row.
Yeah.
So this is a team that's a little scary.
They were tough in the final. Now they have a little winning streak of their own. It's going to be a great rematch. Obviously, no Druin. But I doing a little research, I didn't realize Stamkos already has 20 goals, and he has 6 points in his last four games. So, one of the most dangerous guys in the league, or at least he used to be, he's playing really well again.
So you have the two top teams in the Atlantic Division that you're going to be playing here, which it's still amazing to me that Florida has 57 points. Florida.
Yager.
Now, the Atlanta division's been struggling here if you actually look at all the other divisions. But, Florida right now, 26-15-5. Tampa Bay, 25-17-4. So that's your next two opponents.
They'll get tested. At some point, the streak is going to fizzle out, obviously, like it did in the 2013 season when he went to Colorado, who was gelling at the time. So it is going to break. It is going to come undone, but it's been quite the ride right now.
Yeah, like I said, Lightning have won six straight, and then on the opposite end of that, the Panthers have lost four straight. So should be an interesting couple days here, back-to-back. We'll see Crawford tonight. We'll see Darling tomorrow. That's going to be it. And then they come home on Sunday. So the Blackhawks, this has been a rough little stretch of hockey they've had here too. I mean, a lot of games and not a lot of time. So see how it all plays out. We'll see if they get number 13 or maybe even number 14 tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe next week, by the time we talk to you, they'll be on a 16-game winning streak. Who knows?
It could happen with this team.
Anything could happen. Anything could happen. Always fun, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for posting all the blog stuff, too. Appreciate it.
Yep. Make sure
you work with the show.
Make sure you keep an eye on that. WGNradio.com. We have our Blackhawks Crazy blog that you do a great job writing about. And we need – you know what? Actually, before we close it out, you know, just – you had a great blog talking about –
thank you.
Talking about this team compared to last year's Stanley Cup champion team and which team, you know, you thought – you know, is it possible to say that this team's better than last year? Well, I mean, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, it was a really good – if you can go to WGNradio.com and read it, but – well, I got you here. Why don't we just have you expound on it?
I'm not going anywhere, buddy.
So before we close it out.
Yeah, no, thanks. A lot of people – thanks to all the fans. A lot of people checked that out. It did really well on the site. If you haven't seen it yet, I think it's called something like Are the Blackhawks Better Than the 2015 Champs blog I did for WGN Radio. What I kind of did in the story, what I think people like, is I broke it down kind of the whole team and compared it to last year, and there's a lot of stats in there. I would say maybe the only thing that was better with last year's team is you do have Saad on that first line. And, you know, obviously Shaw has been working so hard and really breathed a lot of life into this first line. And he's been doing great. He got Taves and Hossa hot again. But Saad was just bigger. He was stronger on his skates. He had good hands. So, you know, the first line now is doing really well. But I might give a slight edge to Saad because they were so good and steady in the playoffs and all year last year. And then the second line you look at is the biggest juggernaut in the NHL with Kane, Panarin, and Anisimov. Obviously, nothing to fix there. They've been so fun to watch. And last year you had guys trying out at left wing on the second line, like Versteeg, and guys who couldn't get much going opposite Kane. And Richards didn't get going until late in the playoffs. He was kind of a disappointment, trying to get Kane going. Kane often is able to make something out of nothing last year, and this year he has much more help. So second line, obviously, way better. Third line, I like a lot this year, like we talked about, Teravainen and Desjardins and Deneau. Last year, I think Teravainen had some chemistry with Vermette, but that, again, not till late in the playoffs. So we're seeing things work really well right now. Same with the fourth line. I think all fourth lines are – all four lines, maybe except for the first line, are better. And you look at – their biggest problem was defense this year. The holes on D. Gustafsson comes in and pretty much fixes that. Yeah. And Roosevelt's been fine. Scuderi's been fine when he's in there. And we've been talking about Crawford a ton. Like you said, laser sharp focus. Seems to be having a much better season. So, and the only argument that I've heard to the blog is they're peaking early now. And we addressed that already. They didn't in 2013. They're probably not now. They have a lot of guys with a lot of experience. So there's more in there. Check it out. I don't want to make the show too long. But, go check out the blog.
Again, WGNradio.com. That's where you get this podcast that you're listening to right now. So you probably already know that that's there. But you also could see the Blackhawks Crazy blog. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jacobson Radio. He is at Scott King Media. Use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. Now we have officially put a bow on the show. We will talk to you next week.